alternative. You're listening to Indy 101.5 CIOI.
Hey, friends. Thanks for spending time with me again tonight, and welcome back. I'm Sarah Jessica, and this is Hot Shots on Air, and tonight I'm hanging out with Alyssa Shinghavi. She's a Hamilton-based musician, trombonist of St. Catherine's band, My Son the Hurricane, and owner of her own independent business, Benji's Market. You can find Alyssa on most socials under either Alyssa Shinghavi or Benji's Market. So, hey, Liz.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Awesome. Just to kind of like start off everything, how would you describe your sound and style as a musician?
I feel like a lot of people will, that's like one of the questions I actually get asked the most, ironically enough.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people will be like, didn't you go to classical music school? And I'll be like, yeah. And they're like, well, what are you doing in like a funk band?
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I actually use like for everything, like even though My Son the Hurricane, obviously they're not classical.
Right.
I use a classical mouthpiece for everything because I try to still have like a really round sound as a trombone player.
Sure.
I want to sound really like open and not, I don't want to sound like small and direct. Like I want to sound big and open, when I play. So I like to think that I sound like I have like my own kind of different sound, given my background, but I mean, I prefer to use a mouthpiece that's going to help my sound as opposed to one that's going to help, like, let's say my range, for example.
Yeah, totally makes sense. Who would you say are your biggest musical influences?
good question. It's funny because like at the end of the day, I mean, I'm still like ridiculously obsessed with like everything about My Son the Hurricane. But I mean, when I was in university, like I was so inspired by Gordon Wolfe of the TSO, still am. But he just has such a nice sound, and that's like something I've always kind of strived to have, and like a lot of the stuff he plays, he can play anything and he still has that like bigger open sound, even if he's playing something that's not necessarily classical music. And that's something that I try to strive to have myself.
Yeah, totally. What do you feel like you take from those musical influences? And like, you know, there's trombone influences specifically, but I think also like, just like the fun music that you listen to, I think that also has an influence on the music you create, even if there's no trombone in it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair. See, like when I listen to music, I like to listen to like a lot of like older pop right now. That's kind of been my thing lately.
Cool.
Because a lot of it is just kind of like dance music. I don't know. I like music that kind of like perks everything up.
Yeah.
Like something that's just very like stimulating to like listen to. Just there's so much always going on in the song, right?
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of the time, I don't know, I just really like older like dance music right now.
Yeah. Like who?
I've been listening to like a lot of Maroon 5. Also have I been listening to like a little bit of like the Chainsmokers. I would have to like pull up my phone. I've been listening to, you know what? Actually, lately I've been getting back into like Katy Perry.
Cool. Okay.
Who else have I been listening to? a little bit of Sean Kingston, a little bit, just a little.
Okay.
But perfect. Like we're like traveling backwards, you know, like we're definitely doing that right now.
Yeah, totally. I mean, maybe that kind of like dip into the past and that sort of like reflection on older music, that's probably, I mean, helpful during these kind of like crazy times we're living in right now, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah. I don't know. I just want a lot of music these days. Like, I'm not into it, I guess.
Sure.
I find like I'm always listening to throwback playlists, just anything that's like older, you know, like from like when we were like in high school, you know, yeah. All that music.
Yeah.
Like, wow, this. It's starting to sound good now.
You didn't think it sounded good at the time, but now looking back, it sounds great.
Yeah. Like when I was in high school, like I would try to like find all of these bands that didn't have like a huge following and listen to only that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be on like YouTube every day after school, like thinking I was like some hipster or something.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just, I don't know. Like I used to hate pop so much back then, but now it's just like. I don't know. It just sounds so much better.
Yeah, sure. Totally.
I think it's just because it's so, like, overstimulating.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. I think also a lot of pop these days, which I've heard a lot of people discussing this and people who are big pop fans and music fans in general, is that there's, like, the trend recently has been kind of, like, sad, kind of moody pop. And I think like at the time that you're talking about, the music that you're, you know, listening to currently is like really, yeah, again, really dancey, really upbeat, really happy and kind of fun and silly. And like, I think that's probably very indicative of the time that we're living in currently, right? Like that you would be going back to that.
That's the thing. Like, I don't want to listen to something that makes me upset, you know?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, at least I find that music has such a big influence, like, on my mood. The second that I'm listening to something and I don't want to listen to it, it automatically, like, kills the vibe, kills the mood. So that's why, like, I'm so particular with, like, I either want to drive in silence or I want to listen to something that's, like, I don't know, that I'm going to think is good, I guess, at the time.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. I am a huge sad music fan, but it does put you in a mood. So I definitely need, like, I understand the balance and you need both in your life.
It's like rough right now trying to listen to sad music.
No, I have not been able to recently. Do you remember what you listened to as a kid? Sort of like maybe around your house, that sort of thing. And do you feel as though those early influences have an impact on your current style?
You know what? I don't think so. Like,
yeah.
Not at all.
Not at all, eh?
Yeah, because, like, I mean, I used to listen to, like, what did I listen to? I listened to a lot of Adam Lambert and, like, Mariana's Trench.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I just, now, like, I could not be bothered.
Anyone born in the late 90s understands that.
Yep. Yeah, but, like, now it's just like,
Yeah, yeah, no, totally.
I don't think that I was, like, listening to it in that way, you know what I mean? Where, like, it could have influenced me.
Yeah, yeah. What was the first time that you listened to a piece of music, whether that was an album or a song, any of those, and you thought, wow, I wish I made that?
So there's this album called Reflections, and it was recorded by Gordon Wolfe, who's just basically playing a lot of classical music. And every time I listen to it, I'm always like, man, like, I wish that's what I sounded like. Like, every single time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's always, like, particularly, like, that's always it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wish I was as intelligent as Daft Punk musically, but unfortunately, I am not.
Oh, well, you could get there if you wanted to.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I've never been one to, like, write my own stuff. Like, I'm not. Want to write.
Yeah, you're a player, not a writer.
Yeah.
You could someday, though. I have faith.
Just put it in front of my face and I'll be good.
What do you think you take away from that album? Like, what do you think, what part of it really speaks to you?
I think just like just his overall like tone. Because every time I'm always like, oh, like I want to sound like that, but then it gets me thinking like, okay, but what can I do to kind of have that bigger sound? Like, what are some techniques? Like, in fact, I liked that album so much. I took a lesson with him, and it was just so like the things that I learned were like amazing, right? So even now, like I have a book from when I was in university, and it has like a lot of like just little studies written in that help with sound. And I still, like, to this day, I'll still pull that out sometimes and work on that.
Yeah. And that was his booklet?
No. I took a lesson with him, and I recorded the whole thing.
Oh, I see.
I, like, wrote down, like, what he said and, like, what he would do, just stuff like that. Because, like, I really wanted to learn how to sound better, because that was, like, my biggest focus. And, yeah, I just broke down all the exercises he told me that he would do for like tone and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sick. What was the first instrument that you picked up?
I got a guitar in grade 9.
Nice.
And I was.
I don't remember that.
Pardon?
I don't remember that. I've known Alyssa for a long time, by the way, to anyone listening. We've known each other since, like, grade 7.
Yeah, this is, like, when I moved to Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Like, I really wanted a guitar, and, like, I mean, I only played it for, like, 2 months because I lost interest, and I didn't really think it was my thing.
Right.
But, I mean... You know, it was fine. It wasn't an instrument that made me like music.
Yeah. Yeah, not at all, eh?
Yeah, I was not very good at it. I remember, like, my fingers would bleed, and I would be like, is this supposed to happen? Like, do people do this to themselves?
Yikes, they were bleeding?
Yeah, I, like, bleed sometimes. But having me in high school, too, actually. When I learned how to play double bass, and it just, like, it, my fingers, like, I very vividly remember, like, this one song that we were playing in class, and I, like, had, like, a blister, and I was like, oh, it'll be fine, like, I don't need a band-aid, and I remember there was, like, a little bit of blood just, like, dripping down my hand by the end of it, and it was so disgusting, but it's just such a vivid memory.
Oof. That whiplash moment. Have you seen Whiplash?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep. Forever. Oh, my God. That's the one thing. You know what? After seeing Whiplash, I've always told myself, like, I don't want to have that kind of a relationship with my instrument.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's a little toxic.
Yeah, I had a little bit of an unhealthy relationship with my instrument in university.
Mm.
And so I never want to end up back there again.
Right. You live and you learn, eh?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. When did you pick up the trombone?
In ninth grade, I think. Yeah, I was in ninth grade.
So after the guitar.
Yeah. So I got a guitar, like, my first semester of grade 9, and then it just kind of collected dust for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I learned how to play trombone my second semester, because that's when I had my band class.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Cool. Do you know what, like, drew you to it originally?
Yeah, so there was, like, this trombone ensemble, like, at my school, and they would literally cover, like, rock songs, and I thought that it was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I want to do that. And then, thing, you know, I, like, because originally I wanted to play, like, I think it was, like, the alto sax or, like, the tenor sax. I don't remember which one I wanted to pick up.
Mm.
But then afterward, I was like, oh, no, like, I want to play trombone now. Like, I can always learn one of these other instruments later if I want.
Yeah, of course. Cool. Are there any other instruments that you'd like to master at some point?
Not really. I mean, I have always wanted to learn how to play piano.
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassingly uncoordinated when it comes to piano.
Yeah.
But, like,
I can't imagine.
It would be really cool. Like, yeah, like, there are a lot of instruments that I admire.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would actually go out and learn, you know?
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. When did you start playing music after you picked up the trombone? So, like, when did you start learning songs, playing music regularly?
That was, like, immediately, like, in band class, because it was all part of the curriculum, right? Where you have to, like, learn your and stuff.
Yeah.
So I would do that. Like, I would skip ahead in the book. Like, I would try to do some extra stuff. But, like, you know, at first, everyone gets frustrated. So I spent a lot of time getting frustrated. But, I mean, otherwise, it was kind of just a constant thing, right, that I was learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. When did you begin to look at music as something more than a hobby?
I think it was when I got more involved with music. Actually, no, you know what? Mm-hmm. It was a hobby that kind of turned into career choice. Because I had no idea what you could do with a music degree.
Yeah.
I think I wanted to take it originally because my parents wanted me to be a music teacher. I really didn't want to be a music teacher. In fact, I hate teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I wanted to be a performer, and I was like, okay, well, maybe I can tell them that I want to be a teacher, go to music school, and then, boom, next thing you know, I end up performing. Uh-oh, what happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was, like, this whole sneaky plan, and I didn't realize until it was either, like, halfway through my first year, at some point during my second year, I realized that you could, like, get into orchestras, and you could play concertos, and you could do this, and you could do that, and, like, I didn't know that all of those options were initially available to me, you know? Like, I wish that someone had told me, my biggest regret is I wish that someone had told me this when I was, like, 10 years old, that, you know, these are the career choices that you can have as a musician, because I would have, you know, pushed to learn an instrument sooner, or, you know what I mean? Like, I just wish that I picked it up earlier sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, completely understandable, but I mean, like, it's never too late, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's like, it's never too late, but it's always going to be like a nagging thought, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But I think everybody has that, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I agree.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I...
It's like, you're your own worst critic, right?
Oh, yeah. And I don't play a single instrument. So, like, me comparing myself to you, like, I'm like, I wish I started at your age. Like,
yeah, that's understandable. That's fair.
Yeah. Did you, I mean, obviously you did, but you not only studied music, in, high school, but you went on to, study music in, university. And did you take professional lessons outside of that? Like anything additional?
Yeah. So I was really eager. So my trombone teacher in university, he was very like adamant on you have to take lessons with multiple people,
right,
which I did. I took a lot of lessons with some of the people in the TSL, and just like a lot of like Toronto based trombone players.
Mm-hmm.
And I even took some jazz lessons actually with like a tenor saxophone player, which was like pretty cool. Cause I wanted to learn jazz at one point.
Yeah.
But I lost interest. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, mainly, like, I took a lot of it, like, lessons, but it was very beneficial. And, I mean, I know a lot of teachers are like, no, you can't see someone else, but it kind of depends on the teacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because you don't want to feel like you're doing something that you're not supposed to do, because a lot of teachers will drop you if you went ahead and did that.
Yeah.
But personally, I was fortunate that my teacher wasn't like that at all. He encouraged it.
Yeah, yeah. That's really cool, actually, that he told you to go take lessons with a whole bunch of other people. Like, that's very interesting. And I think it's great. I think it's great advice. I mean, you know,
Absolutely,
everybody plays differently. Everybody has different ways of teaching. What do you feel as though you took from that advice and those experiences?
I definitely learned a lot, because the thing is that the school that, I went to, it didn't really have like a trombone specialized program or anything, you know, like it was weird. If you didn't play like piano, guitar, like if you weren't a singer, it was kind of weird. No, it was just weird because like all you had was like the wind ensemble, and then it's like, well, where do I go from here? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to kind of be in a place. Like I went to a lot of trombone workshops too. And it was nice to be around other people that were just like me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or like played the same instrument, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. When did you join your first band, or when did you perform solo for the first time? What came first for you?
Definitely a solo performance. So I actually started, I remember, like, it was like a whole process trying to even get me into the school that I was in, because a lot of people won't believe me when I tell them this. I could barely play my instrument when I got in university. Like, they were not going to accept me.
Really?
But yeah, my teacher had to be like, hey, we're going to work with her and make sure that she's like, you know, she's, trust me, she'll be fine by the end of the semester. Just give us that. And fortunately, like, I got, like, my most, like, the most amount of progress I made was the time from the beginning of my first year to the end of my first year. And then same thing with my second year. So from the beginning of my second year to the end of the summer before I started my third year, like, I was on a really heavy duty practice schedule. And so I went from like a Bachelor of Arts kind of thing to a Bachelor of Music. So the Bachelor of Arts students, they didn't get to perform because we didn't get first choice, because we weren't like quote unquote like music majors. We were just like BA majors, right? So I remember, like, I wanted to play at a noon recital because we had like these concerts every Tuesday, and like sometimes it would be students, sometimes it would be faculty. And so I really wanted to get into one of the student recitals. And I remember, like, in March of my first year, I finally got to do that. And like, it was pretty great. Like, it was scary, but you get used to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I bet it's scary. I mean, like, what do you feel is the biggest difference between, like, the first time that you performed and, like, the last time that you performed? By last, I mean, like, most recent.
Yeah, you know what? You learn how to just accept that there are people there, and it's, like, whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the first time, it's like, oh, this person's here, and, like, you make eye contact with someone. You're like, oh, no, right?
Yeah.
But now it's just like, oh, there's a person, cool, if you make eye contact, like, I don't even register anymore that I know them, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I literally just don't register because I'm so into what I'm doing. I just don't realize that there are people that I know, like, right there, you know?
Yeah, no, of course it makes sense. Yeah, totally. How was the first experience performing? Like, was it, were you filled with anxiety? Like, was it like the scariest thing ever? Or like, did you have some form of confidence, or what would you say?
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so usually there's, for a while, there was like a routine where I wouldn't get nervous until like, okay. So I'd be nervous for like the whole week before. And then the second that I walked onto the stage, it would just go away.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's always just kind of been like that. I have had like some sloppy performances, like everyone has.
Sure, yeah.
But I think that the sloppy ones came from when I was more nervous.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
How did your family and friends react to you pursuing music?
It's funny. I was thinking about this the other day. Like, even at my first job, I remember people used to make fun of me all the time, being like, what do you mean you play trombone? You're never going to get anywhere with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me think, right? Like, with Hurricane and everything, I was like, well, I mean, I did get somewhere with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, my family reacted very poorly to it. Like, my friends were just like, oh, okay, cool. You know, it was like, there was no like, oh, you're going to go and be a trombone player. Cool. You know, there wasn't like a whole, I don't know, it wasn't really a whole deal or anything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I think, unfortunately, it's extremely common for people to hear, you know, arts career and think like, oh, what are they going to do with that, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can understand why people thought that, like, mm-hmm. when I went to apply.
Mm-hmm.
But coming out of university, I think that I was much better than when I started. And, like, I'm never going to regret the experience, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it makes more sense now when I was like, yeah, I went to school for music. It makes sense when I say it out loud now. The whole time I was in school, it made no sense when I was like, yeah, I'm in school for music. And then people would be like, oh, music, you know, every single time.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, you get that awkward reaction.
Yeah. I mean, what would you say, you know, because, I mean, spoilers, but, you know, you're in a band now, you're performing, you're, you know, possibly touring in the future. We'll see about that. But what do you feel like those reactions have changed? Do you feel as though people kind of talk about you and your career differently now?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I remember like there are a lot of people who almost like when I joined Hurricane, there were people who went from, oh yeah, it's just Alyssa to, oh, hey, like, how's it going? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel kind of bad about that sometimes. Cause it's like, why am I being treated differently now? I mean, I understand. Yes. Hurricane's a huge deal. It's like, you know, it's a blessing, really. It's a dream come true. But at the same time, it's like, I mean, it's definitely the point that kind of defines where my music career is going in the future. And it's going the exact way that I wanted it to go, you know, like 4 or 5 years ago when I first saw them. And I'm like, oh, like it's happening. Like this is going to be my time now, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just weird to kind of see some people are reacting and being like, oh my God, like this is your dream come true. It's happening. Look, you're doing it. And then other people are like, almost like putting me on this like pedestal. Just people that I never really spoke to before, mm-hmm. I guess. And it makes me think like, oh no, like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's just, I guess it's just kind of weird. Maybe I'm not used to it.
Yeah, I think it's industry stuff. I think it's, you know, you got some clout chasers and, you know, it's kind of comes with the nature of the job, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, it's worth it for sure.
Yeah.
It was just weird for a little bit.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. So you grew up in Niagara, basically, I mean, GTHA area around there. You moved around a bit. But, you know, around that area. What was the music scene like in the GTHA?
In the...
Yeah, like Greater Toronto, Hamilton area. Like, you know, I mean, because you were Beamsville, you were Niagara Falls, you were St. Catharines, you were in a few places. So, like, what would you say if you could give, like, a generalization for those areas? And, like, was there a music scene? What did you envision when you were getting into music? Like, you know, what was the scene like there as, like, a kid and, like, teenager?
I feel like St. Catharines was the place to be for a while, to be honest. Like, it felt like it was the place to be. Especially because, you know, like downtown St. Catharines has developed so much. There are so many like newer venues, like even like ever since Warehouse came up, like that place has been popping off, you know, like,
yeah.
I remember like seeing people that I went to high school with performing at Warehouse, people I went to university with performing at Warehouse. And it was like, it was so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always like, man, like what if I were to play here one day? Like, that would be kind of cool. And I mean, I guess eventually, like I did with Hurricane, it was awesome to kind of play a show in my hometown instead of go to a show in my hometown.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet.
But I mean, otherwise, like I'm not very familiar with the Hamilton music scene, to be completely honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have met like a few people, of course. I think that some of the most amazing musicians that I've met in my entire life, I've met here.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, a lot of Mohawk students, even people I know who live in St. Catharines who went to Mohawk, like just some of the most amazing musicians I've met in my entire life. But otherwise, yeah, I'm not familiar with like what's out here yet. I still have some exploring to do, I guess.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, it's worth exploring. When were you introduced to My Son, the Hurricane?
That was when I was in my second year of university. So that was almost like, it's been almost 6 years.
That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
Six years. That's crazy. I mean, cause I remember when you first got into them and everything, like that's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that was 6 years ago, I guess. But yeah, I went to like every single show.
Yeah.
You know, fangirled really hard.
You're a dedicated fan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's like it's been a while.
Yeah. What was it like to meet your idols the first time you actually met the band physically?
It was weird. I was just standing there and I was like, I made a room full of celebrity in my head. Even though, like, it's just funny because, like, yes, like we've toured all over the place, but like in my head, I was like, oh my God, they're famous, famous, you know, like I was treating it like I walked into the same room as like you know, it's like the Beatles or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my God, I'm here. They're here. Like, yeah. Everything's great right now. Like, I remember, like, actually being, like, nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I was so nervous.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. I mean, I can't imagine. How did you end up getting involved with the band?
So originally, so the manager slash band leader slash literally does everything ever. His name's Dano. He's a great guy. We've been friends for quite some time now. So I remember like one day, I think I just added him on Facebook and he saw that I was a trombone player. He's like, hey, like, let's have a chat. And he just, you know, talked to me about my musical background. You know, we've been pretty good friends since then. And, I think it was, let's see, like recently, when I was asked to come to a rehearsal, I was also asked to like record a music video, for YouTube. I think it was on the like Airstream with Betty Lou YouTube channel. I'll send you a link to that afterward if you'd like.
Sure, yeah.
But, so I was asked to do that. And then I was like, hey, like, we could do a lot of social media stuff here. Because I noticed, I was like, oh, wait, I wonder why Max and the Hurricane isn't doing this or this or this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, hey, I think we should do some stuff. Or, like, let me know if you need any social media help. Or I think it just initially started with me simply just running the TikTok page.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterward, the website was outdated. And I was like, well, let me fix it. And now it's just, you know, I'm becoming more and more involved. And I even asked recently for like a little more involvement with like the behind the scenes stuff, because every time I listen to any of our music, I'm just like, man, like this is where I am right now. Like I'm in this band.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, like I have a skill set that's just so different and almost kind of just weird. Like just the different things that I do is just a mix of everything.
Yeah.
I like, I guess that I could just kind of use this and just offer this whole other skill set, you know,
mm-hmm.
And just be more like productive and more helpful. And because I want to see us all succeed.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
So anything that I can do to help with that, I was like, well, I want to do that. That would be great.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look, it worked. So good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long has it been now that you've been a part of My Son the Hurricane? And what has your experience been like so far?
I think it's been since August. And honestly, everyone is so nice. I like, there isn't a single person in the band where there's like a little bit of bad blood. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Everyone is so humble, so nice. Some of these people are the most talented at what they do, like that I've ever met. And
mm-hmm.
They're so the most humble, you know, like there's like no ego that comes with it. It's just like, wow, this is great. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like you can't really feel self-conscious when you're talking to anyone in that group.
Yeah.
And like everyone definitely has each other's backs. Like everyone's super like respectful. And it's just such a great group to be in. Like there's, you know, no drama or anything. And it's nice. Which, especially with the size of the group, you'd expect there to be something, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, not at all.
Sounds like a great work environment.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been with them since August, I think.
Yeah. Cool. So we're going to hit pause on this conversation for a quick second and play everyone a single from My Son the Hurricane. Smile is a single the band released back in 2016 about putting on a brave face when the road gets tough.
Let your smile be your umbrella when the wicked rain.
underdeveloped path in the grass. And every gear I cut through, like I'm smashing the glass. And every tear that I drew taught me something. In fact, to look back and see a pathway that's just littered in puddles. Sight the difference between the bitter and the sour. A deep breath, I'm taking time to smell the flowers. Start cooking with spices, leaving out the condiments. The love of a woman and the feeling of accomplishment. Virgo, clean, creative, and methodical. Organized like the chocolates inside of a box, a pot of gold. I've been unstable like the waters in a kettle. Then I will be until the day the anxiety in my chest settles. Cause I researched, did the work, informed an opinion. And man, I didn't even really like them from the beginning. But now I'm just overwhelmed with the disappointing news that the bad guys can win and the good guys lose. Heads finally feeling comfortable on my shoulders. Call it maturity, man, I'ma just call it getting older. And it's all good, and it's all in good health. I need to stop impressing everybody and start impressing myself. Cause I'm a man, a voice, an opinion. Homo sapien, creatively inclined and proud to be Canadian. Held down by a job that held me down for too long. It's a shame when you and your paycheck don't get along. But with no list, there's no selection. And your consciousness is no direction. And you're haunted with the thought of never getting out. Well, here it is, a new you, a clean slate, and a chance to break through. Cause when that ball drops, so does the hammer. It's just us against the world with a smile fit for the camera. This time it's ours, let's take it and own it. Adjust our perception and measure our minutes and moments.
Anyone just joining us, this is Hot Shots on Air, and tonight I'm speaking with Hamilton trombonist and indie business owner Alyssa Shanghavi. So we just came back from playing Smile by My Son the Hurricane, a classic tune from the band that you just recently joined. Can you tell the listeners and I about your personal feelings on the single?
So it's, you know what, it's crazy because when I used to attend shows, like, everyone knows all the words to Smile. Everyone mm-hmm. knows all the words, at least to the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's the song where, like, she doesn't even need to sing the whole song because the audience will literally sing, like, sing it back, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just one of those songs where no matter what, like, it's going to be everyone's favorite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Like, you know?
Yeah. What was it like learning that single?
Honestly, I don't even think I had to, like, quote unquote, learn it because I had listened to it so much that I already knew, like, oh, this is where this happens. This is where this happens.
So you already knew how to play it, like, on your trombone?
For the most part. Like, I mean, yeah. I had to double check, like, a couple things with, like, the sheet music, of course, just
sure.
to make sure it was all correct. But it's like, I'd listened to it so many times that, like, I knew when all those different layers kind of came in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so funny. I love them. Yeah. What is it like to perform that single live? What's that experience like?
Oh, it's so much better when you're on stage than in the, or I guess, you know, like as someone who was in the crowd, it's incredible, like on stage when you're like kind of contributing to like play the song, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so like, it's so nice. And that's the thing. That's how I feel about all of our songs, like, when we play them. It's like, there isn't, like, a single one that's like, oh, this is dull, this is boring, I don't like this. You know, they're all great.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a favorite Mice on the Hurricane track?
What is it right now? Let's see. You know what? It usually goes between a few.
Mm-hmm.
Another really popular one is Pushing Up Daisies, which, like, I've been kind of, like, it was one of those songs where it's like, I didn't listen to it too much, but then it came on a couple weeks ago on one of my playlists, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't listened to this in so long, like, not, you know, like, we've played it at all of our shows, but I was like, I've never just sat down and, like, listened to this in, like, the last little while, so, you know, we'll just let this one play, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, just between that, for a while, I was obsessed with Birthday Cake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of the tunes are really good, especially, like, on the newest album, Ride the Bullet.
Mm-hmm.
I was into the intro for a bit, just because it's so, like, it's just so groovy. What else? I'm trying to think. And I just, like, it's hard, because I could go on forever, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem. Yeah. No, seriously, I mean, you know, it's, like, your favorite band, so I totally get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there, like, it is one of your favorite songs to listen to by Mice on the Hurricane different than one of your favorites to play live? Like, how does that translate? How do they differ from one another?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So here's the thing. When you're playing them live, there are some songs. So some of them just wind you. Some of them are like, it feels like you're just going to fall over. Also remember when we played in Cordyville,
mm-hmm.
like just with the way that our set list went, there was a point where the room was kind of spinning a little bit. And I was like, oh, okay. I think we should start hitting the gym, because we can't keep like just eating like junk food right before getting on stage and playing, because I will probably fall over, you know. Like, I mean, I like listening to I really like listening to Parade, but playing it is like, oh, it was rough the first few times, I will say. Now that I have been exercising a little bit more, though, it's, you get like a little bit of like a runner's high from it, you know, so it's become more enjoyable to play.
yeah that's really funny, a runner's high, eh?
Yeah, because it's like you're moving so much, right?
Yeah, that's a funny way to describe that.
Yeah.
So the single that you've already brought up that we're going to play at the end of this, spoilers for everybody listening, is Birthday Cake.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell the listeners and I a bit about your personal feelings on this track?
I really like Birthday Cake. I mainly just love the layering of everything. The whole song, it's just, the whole song is so like groovy. I love all of like the textures in it. Like there's just so much happening all at once. Even when you see it live, there's so much movement happening. So you're seeing so many things, you're hearing so many things, and it's just like, It makes you
want to
dance, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally, yeah. What was it like learning that single versus Smile? Was there a difference there?
It was a little bit harder to learn some of the parts because of like the tonality or like the key of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that one I had to read a little bit. I couldn't exactly, like, you know, I didn't know it completely.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, like, Birthday Cake is a lot more, it's a lot more playing than Smile is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you find it easier then?
No, that's actually one that I did struggle with a little bit, now that I think about it. There's just one part that I struggled with because it was just awkward. Like, a lot of things that I play, like, they have the exact same slide movement patterns.
Right.
This song particularly didn't, so it was, like, I had to learn a new pattern, kind of, you know? It was, like, I couldn't just go into autopilot.
Right.
I had to actively think, like, you know, almost like slide position numbers, like in my head while I was playing. Otherwise I would play a wrong note.
Yeah.
Once I kind of registered that pattern, we were good.
Mm-hmm. What's that song like to perform live?
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So much fun. It's like, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's chaotic. There's a lot of movement, as I mentioned before, and everyone in the audience is always going absolutely nuts.
Cool. Yeah. What single would you say the audience goes crazier for? Birthday Cake or Smile?
I feel like, oh, that's a hard one, but I feel like it has to be Smile, because everyone knows Smile, right?
Like, it's the big single.
I believe it is our most played song, and like most streamed.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So besides My Son the Hurricane, you're also the owner of your own indie business called Benji's Market. Can you describe the business a little bit for the listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. So I make a lot of like homemade products. I've been doing art since I was, I think, a very long time.
Elementary school.
Since I was able to like hold a pencil and like register shapes and patterns and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a very long time, and I dropped it for a while. I was very discouraged when I was in my high school art class because I found that I wasn't getting a whole lot of feedback. But as an adult, I just started again and I started to find my own style, and I didn't really care what other people thought. So, I mean, I think that really helped. And like with the sewing, oh my God, the scrunchies, it's the funniest story, because I was so broke and I just wanted to buy a million scrunchies. And so I found one of those like bulk packs on Amazon. Like, I already had too many scrunchies, I will mention. I just wanted more.
Mm-hmm.
And I found one of those bulk packs on Amazon. I remember it came in and I was like, man, these are the most disgusting scrunchies I've felt in my entire life.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, hey, like, I learned how to sew as a kid. What if I made my own? So I looked at a tutorial and it was easy. So I just started hand sewing them. Now I use a machine, but like all of the scrunchies I own, I'm pretty sure I don't have a single store-bought one in my collection anymore.
Cool. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, why not? I mean, you saw an area that was needed and you fulfilled it. So there you go.
Yeah. I was like, I want a lot of scrunchies, but I don't have a lot of money to buy a lot of scrunchies.
Yeah. What would you say are the most popular products that you sell?
Honestly, it depends. So lately it has actually been my calendar. Ever since that came out, I've sold at least 10 of them.
Wow.
Cool. And I think, I mean, you know, with the new year starting and everything, I had a lot around December and January for calendar sales. But other than that, I do sell a ton of scrunchies. I sell a lot of memo pads. And I'm definitely just checking, like, my inventory right now to confirm.
Mm-hmm.
I've sold a bunch of, like, macrame products. Oh yeah, I started doing macrame products recently.
Yeah,
cool. Those have been selling pretty well. I made ornaments for Christmas. I made like these little snowflakes, and I sold like 5 to 10 of them. Which, I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it was a lot considering how slow the last year has been.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's mostly that stuff, and then the occasional greeting card. Mm-hmm. Depending on the holiday, sometimes you sell a bunch, sometimes you don't really sell a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there a project related to Benji's Market that you've always wanted to create or always wanted to start for yourself?
Sort of. So I've been thinking about making some digital, like, print-at-home products lately.
Mm.
But I don't know if I'm actually going to do it, to be completely honest. Like, I want to do it, but I don't know if it's going to be something that I'm going to be passionate about.
Yeah.
So I actually have been thinking a lot about my shop and how things are going lately. And I think that I just need to figure out Because I found, you know, even keeping up with orders between having a full-time job, running my own social media, running the social media for Hurricane, being in Hurricane, you know, like just doing Benji's, trying to make time for friends, streaming on Twitch, just between all of that, I found that it's kind of hard to keep up with orders lately.
Yeah.
And so I think I need to figure out how to kind of either keep or stock my products and just have a smaller, more like nicer quality collection as opposed to a bunch of random things that I have to keep on making to order.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. Can you tell us about your most recent drop on Benji's?
Yeah. So I released a bunch of products for Valentine's Day. I had like just like some little sticker sheets with little hearts, you know, just to seal like Valentine's or just to seal like card envelopes or, you know, just decorate whatever. We had a couple of Valentine's Day cards, which those were a bestseller for me last year. So I tried to make some cuter designs for this year. And I also released some of those like little class Valentines. I am thinking of adding maybe one or two more things this week if I have the time. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to complete it, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, do what you can without burning out. Like, you do enough, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's hard to keep up sometimes, but yeah. I mean, at the same time, I love being this busy.
Of course. Yeah.
But yeah, it's a weird balance.
Mm-hmm. Where do you hope to see Benji's Market in, like, 5 years?
In 5 years? I want to have, like, a room in my house where I have to work out of. And you know what I mean? I want it to be, like, a chaotic thing where it's like, oh, my God, like, I need to get this done or else. You know what I mean? Like, I want it to be chaos.
Yeah, like your own office sort of thing.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want to, I don't know if I would want to rent out a commercial space. I don't know if that's something that's going to ever interest me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one day. I've been thinking about it a lot lately about, you know, whether we'll ever kind of get to that point. And if we do, would I be interested in doing that?
Mm-hmm.
But I think in 5 years, I would just want to have a very busy home office.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel as though you're playing, we're going back to music. How do you feel as though your playing has changed from like when you first started versus nowadays?
Honestly, I feel like it's been very like up and down.
Yeah.
Which is normal. I definitely like it's not going to be the one individual thing that I do forever, you know? It's definitely like, I mean, yes, like it's going to be like a full time kind of thing, but at the same time, I'm not going to be like, oh, like I want to be a musician that plays in a band. And the one I'm not doing that, I'm going to teach. And the one I'm not doing that, I'm going to like do recordings and stuff, you know? Like that's not, I don't think that is who I think I really wanted that to be me when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not who I am right now. And I don't think that's ever going to be me because I'm not the kind of person that keeps up with my playing unless there's something to look forward to. Like Hurricane was what encouraged me to pick my horn up again.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
What can we look forward to seeing from you?
Hopefully good things. I'm very eager to play some shows next year. I'm beyond excited for those.
Yeah.
We have a lot on our website under the tour tab. There's a lot booked for next year. So I'm so excited for those shows. I'm really hoping to, did I say next year?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I meant this year.
That's okay.
Right, it's 2022 now.
It is.
So this year, we have a lot of shows booked.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to think, like, I'm really hoping to get a lot more going with Benji's Market as well. Like, I don't really know what for sure.
Sure.
But I don't know. I just want it to... Yeah, I just want more Benji's in the future, you know?
Mm-hmm. We all do.
Yeah. you know, maybe, like, more streams too?
Yeah. And plug your Twitch.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So you can find me at twitch.tv/Dr. Trombone. All one word. I stream games. Sometimes I craft things. Sometimes I draw. I haven't been as active on Twitch lately because life, but I hope to be more active.
Yeah. All good. Twitch is like a lot of dedication.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, it's Dr. as in Dr. Trombone, not like Dr.
Oh,
the word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to clarify for everybody listening. And yeah, you guys should also check out Benji's Market. She makes like high quality products, stationery, accessories, home goods, like just kind of like anything you could want, like little gifts for people, anything. Like, go check it out. And yeah, I guess that's kind of it. I mean, thanks so much for joining me, Liz.
Anytime. It was great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. So you guys listening, you can find Alyssa Shanghavi on all socials under either Liz Shanghavi or Benji's Market. And we're going to wrap up this episode with another single from My Son the Hurricane. Birthday Cake is a straight-up feel-good track about choosing to party in the face of bad times.
Hey guys, this is Melissa Shanghavi of My Son the Hurricane, and you're listening to Hot Shots on Air on Indie 101.5.
Just sitting in an office making cake 'cause there's bills to pay. Let's give it-